T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Labor Day behind us, fall ahead, and we're talking about the presidential race because I'll tell you what, it'll be here before you know it, really. Next Labor Day, we're going to be right in the thick of it, and you know how quickly time can fly. Lara Brown joins us, director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University. Good morning, Lara. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you, Tommy.
Thanks for taking the time with us.
You bet. Always happy to be with you.
I'm looking at this story here about Joe Biden apparently melding 3 stories together of valor and heroism as it relates to the war in Afghanistan, as I understand it, not completely accurate. And I guess it's not uncommon, and I say this with respect to President Trump as well, not uncommon for Grandpa to kind of exaggerate a little bit, is it?
Yes, I think we usually call these fish stories,
yeah,
where, you know, every time you tell it, the fish gets larger and the fight for it gets longer and the fact that you didn't reel it in becomes more dramatic.
And yes, the snow becomes deeper.
That's right.
The hills,
I mean,
higher.
I think that what's going on here is that there is this desire, and even Joe Biden said it. He said, to a certain extent, it's irrelevant that, you know, the details don't really matter. His point was kind of the moral of the story. But I just think this entire sort of fall down the rabbit hole where facts really don't matter, and somehow everyone is just making up their own relative truth, is really disconcerting to me as a citizen and as somebody who thinks, how am I supposed to vote if I can't even trust that these people are telling me something that's real?
We have elections coming up in October. Of course, country does. Wait, we have elections here in October. The country does next October. In terms of coattails, because we have some local races here. I don't know if you heard the commercial just now. Does President Trump have coattails as it relates to Louisiana or other states that he carried that are solid red?
Well, certainly in the states that voted for the president in 2016 and states that are consistently more one party or another, so Louisiana is certainly on the redder side of that spectrum, one would think that there will be coattails there. But I think that's a really uncertain assumption. We can look to the special election that's going to happen in North Carolina's 9th congressional district on September 10th, so next week. And that is a district that President Trump carried by 12 percentage points in 2016. And yet the polling right now between those two candidates is essentially tied. We see a lot of questions about sort of where things are. Even the approval rating for the president is only at 48%, and the disapproval is at 47%. So all of that looks to be somewhat in question.
If you don't attach yourself to his coattails, though, do you risk his ire?
I think so. I mean, I think certainly Republican candidates are looking at somebody who we've actually seen a lot this weekend is Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida. And he, you know, ran his campaign by attaching himself to the president, was very close to him, and certainly he ended up winning. So I do think that Republicans know that they need to associate with the president. They need to let other Republicans know that they are supportive of this president, that they want to be with this administration. Of course, doing that will certainly bring out your opponents. because that is one of the most motivating factors for Democrats, is to vote against somebody who aligns with the president, which is what we saw in 2018.
So what happens when the Congress reconvenes? When do they reconvene, Lara? And then what's going to be the agenda beyond then? What's on their plate?
So they'll be back next week. And I think what you're going to see is just a lot of conversation about where does the impeachment go. The Judiciary Committee has already said they're going to do more investigations into the Stormy Daniels and the hush money payments that the president was involved in that sent Michael Cohen to prison. And I think you're going to see a lot more just general fighting, because they've got budget agreements. So purportedly, the Appropriations Committee can move forward and pass budgets. And they've also won agreement to raise the debt ceiling, which they did just before they left. So the pressing issues are not as pressing. And I think what we're going to see is a lot of politics.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll pick it up here, move over to the Democratic side. And they've taken a break, and the debates resume in September. I don't know who's going to be on the stage and who isn't. And you also may need an update as to who's still in the race and who isn't. Lara Brown is our guest. Labor Day gone. We're talking about presidential politics, and we will continue when we come back at 6:20 here at WWL. Let's take a look at traffic.
From the WWL Rejuvenate Medical Traffic Center, I'm Joshua Dausch. Looking good across the Causeway Bridge and Bonnie Carey Spillway. Traveling through Kenner and Metairie, I-10 just seeing a little slowdown between Williams and Power. Otherwise, you're staying at speed all the way into the city. Traveling in on Airline, no problems between the airport and downtown. Traveling from Slidell, I-10 clear at the Twin Span Bridge with no slowdowns getting over the high rise. 610 looks good in both directions. And from the West Bank, all clear coming across the Huey P and on the connection with all your ferries checked in for regular service. Traffic brought to you by East Jefferson General Hospital, this region's only four-star hospital.
6:24, Tommy Tucker, WWL. We're talking about the presidential race with our friend Lara Brown, director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University. Lara, back in the day, the presidential race really would kick off after Labor Day the election year, would it not?
Yes, and I will say this, I still believe that's where we are.
Really?
So, yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that's happening is that we are headed into basically a September debate, and the DNC has also now announced that they'll do an October debate. And I think what you're going to see is all of the folks who are thinking about who's going to be the Democratic nominee are really going to train their sights on these two debates, which are both likely to be one night, where all the candidates are on stage, and Iowa starts to look much closer because we're talking February, not a year from that February.
You know, I'm glad you made that distinction, because I'm talking about the election being November a year away, but really the primaries could start right after the first of the year. And the first of the year, you know, Lara, time flies, could be here before you know it.
It does. And it's usually this kind of crunch time between basically Labor Day and January 1st, when really the field will shake out and we'll see who's going where. You know, we have yet to see Senator Elizabeth Warren on the same stage with, you know, Vice President Joe Biden. So that's going to be an interesting debate. We're going to have a chance to see kind of the front runners with Senator Sanders and Senator Harris, and really there contesting. And with all sort of 10 candidates on the stage, no other second night, I think people are going to start making up their minds.
So a story in the Washington Post, I think it was an op-ed, saying that it was Joe Biden's race to lose. Is that accurate?
I don't think that's necessarily true. I mean, again, I think what we've got, this race reminds me a lot of the 2004 Democratic primary. We obviously had more candidates when we started out than that. But if you go back in time and you remember, there was this conversation about, would it be Dick Gephardt? Would it be John Kerry? Would it be Howard Dean? Would it be John Edwards? There was a lot more uncertainty about that top field. And we even had, you know, Joe Lieberman, who had been the vice presidential nominee prior to that year running. We had General Wes Clark jumping in. It was a much more dynamic race. Now, that being said, the minute Kerry won Iowa, everybody essentially rallied around him, and that race closed very quickly. And part of why it closed quickly is because I think of the same dynamic we see this time. People get tired of the uncertainty. They start to feel like, okay, it's just time to go take on the general election. We've got to stop messing around with these preliminaries. And so I think Iowa and New Hampshire are going to play every bit as an important role as they did that year.
Tariffs, a deal to get out of Afghanistan with the Taliban, it looks like. Does any of that matter, Lara, now, or is it all going to be whatever the situation is at the time?
Well, I think so much of what we see in politics these days is how much sort of the day's news are driving the conversation. There is one through line, and the through line is just very simple. Do you want 4 more years of President Trump or not? That's what incumbent elections are about. And I think as we get closer, there will be a sustained discussion about whether Donald Trump and 4 more years of a presidency under him is what you would like or not.
The August recess was nice, don't you think, to get away from it?
Yes.
But we're going to be back to it.
I do believe politics should not be an everyday conversation for everybody. It is an exhausting sort of, you know, in the weeds battle every single day. And to follow it too closely will, to a certain degree, upset your life.
Mm-hmm. It was nice to get away, I got to tell you. Thank you, Lara. We appreciate your time as always.
Thanks, Tommy. It's great to talk with you.
You too. Have a great fall. Lara Brown, director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University. And you do have to admit, it was nice to get away from it for a while, wasn't it? Not have that go on every day with this one and fighting and fussing and lying and...